You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Hey, it's Saturday morning, early in the morning. I'm with my man, Devon Givens. We just got done watching Friday night's game where the Sixers I ain't going to say upset. I mean, the Sixers defeated the Knicks in another thriller. The score was 105 to 102. They won the game basically because of Justin Anderson and Dario Saric. But let me tell you this. You know, Justin Anderson, me personally, when the Sixers traded for Justin Anderson, and my man Devon is a little bit different than I am, but when the Sixers traded for him, I felt like he was just something to make the deal work. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like that he was going to be a key contributor for the team or anything like that. I just felt like he would make the, you know, make the trade work. But tonight, he showed that he is not just a fill-in piece. Now, I'm not saying he's a starter, a superstar, but look, the brother had 19 points on 8 for 12 shooting. He scored the go-ahead basket with 24 seconds left. Well, I mean, what's your thoughts of Justin Anderson?
Yeah, nice player, Keith. Again, thanks for having me. As always, yeah, I think when the trade went down, of course, and his name was in the deal, I tried to calm a lot of people down, saying that he was an okay player. He was a former first-round pick, fell a little bit because he had an injury during the pre-draft workouts. So that's what had him fall to where he was able to fall to a team like the Dallas Mavericks. That being said, again, I agree with you. I don't know if he's going to be a starter or long-term player for them in terms of being a key contributor, 25, 30 minutes a game. But I do believe that he's a piece, a nice piece, a nice wing defender, a nice wing player, because they're tough to come by in the NBA. You have someone that's athletic, can defend, can fill the open lanes in the fast break, and do so many different things for a team that may not necessarily show up on the box sheet, to where you look at the game later on and you say, man, he did that many things. Again, it may not show up on the box score. Mm-hmm. That being said, he might have an impact in another way. I think Justin Anderson is a nice player, can be a nice player for the 76ers as they continue to build this team. You still have him on his rookie contract, being that he was traded in his second year. So you still have his control. And I think given time, and given the opportunity, which he will have with the 76ers, I think the fan base here in Philadelphia will learn to like this guy a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we talked about this a little bit prior, but the thing that I really liked about him, or when I realized that this guy, you know, was the real deal, is basically when I saw them play in Miami on Wednesday. It was one of those things, they were getting blown out, and I remember T.J. McConnell hit a jumper, and he started yelling, jumped up like, yeah, T.J. It was like he was more excited than McConnell when he made that basket. And then Timothy Luwalu was struggling. And I remember Brett Brown, the head coach for the other Sixers, called a timeout, and he walks over, talking about Justin, he walks over to Luwalu and grabs him by the arms and says, look, man, we need you. We need you. You know, keep it up. Keep it up. He gave him encouraging words. And I was like, whoa. And it got to the point where he was the spokesman for the team. So right then and there, you know, I realized, like, okay, he may not always bring it on the court, you know what I mean, as far as producing points. But he's a leader. And he's also going to be a guy that fans in Philadelphia are going to fall in love with.
Yeah, and you said it right. He may not give it to you in points, but he's going to give it to you in probably everything else. Mm-hmm. And he knows the game. He knows how to play defense. And that's one of the things that you know about the Philadelphia fan base. If you can play defense, they will fall in love with you. You give that effort, they will fall in love with you. Again, you said 19 points in 24 minutes off the bench, 8 of 12 from the floor, 3 for 6 from the three-point line, which is the one thing that really stood out when he knocked down his first one. You could see it, and I'm like, man, he really stepped into that when it looked comfortable shooting that basketball. And if that can translate into a added piece to his game, that would make things so much easier for him, for Brett Brown, and the team overall. I like his game. I like his size. He's long. Again, he's athletic. He can do so many different things to affect the basketball game. and not only points. He got up into Carmelo Anthony on Friday night, 18 points on 5-18 shooting. He gave him fits. And that's a Hall of Fame player, and that's one of the best scorers we've ever seen in the NBA. Can do it in so many different ways. Yes, he's a little older, but he still knows how to get it done on the floor. And he came in, and he made it really difficult for Carmelo Anthony to get comfortable, get in his spots and all. So he just frustrated him, made him think about what he needed to do. And then on the offensive end of the floor, he didn't lack off. He wasn't tired where you said, okay, get him out of the game. He was playing a two-way. He was a two-way player tonight, and probably, in my opinion, the best player for the Sixers on this particular night against the Knicks.
And did you kind of gain respect for him that he didn't back down to Melo?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did. And that's something you can see. When you watch him at Virginia, you saw that he was a tough kind of player. He was that. Whenever you play for Virginia anyway, and you play for that head coach, you better be tough. Look at Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon is quiet for the Milwaukee Bucks, but he gets it done. He's a very physical player for his size. He lacks athleticism, and some say he might lack foot speed. But again, he knows how to play the game. And playing for Coach Bennett down there in Virginia, he's going to get you ready for the NBA. And that's something that you may already have in you, but you just have to be coached. And listen, Justin Anderson came from Rick Carlisle, who's a heck of a coach in the NBA, probably a top five coach in this league. And coming here, getting the opportunity to play, he missed his first game simply because Brett Brown is a coach's DMP. Felt like he wasn't ready. Just got here on a Thursday trade. They played on a Saturday night. A Friday night. He may not have been ready. But in his fourth game, well, let's take it back to the third game. Miami, as you mentioned, to have that kind of impact, to show his teammates that he just got here, doesn't necessarily know them all, but he's all into it. He's all into it for his team, for his teammates. That's a great indication of what type of player, what type of teammate he is. And then to come out and give that offensive output, which I did not expect, 19 points, 8-12 shooting, a lot of it from behind the arc. It was just an impressive overall game for Justin Anderson in his fourth game as a member of the Sixers.
Exactly. And Dario Saric had a solid game as well, too. I mean, you know, he finished with a team high 21 points. He had a game high 10 rebounds. You know, he had 5 fouls. You know, he picked up his 4th foul early in the third quarter, and he sat out the rest of it. But, you know, 12 of his 21 points were scored in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's kind of strong. And not only that, you know, Dario, we all know that Joel Embiid is done for the rest of the year. He's only played 31 games. It seems like suddenly Dario Saric, because of his durability and what he's doing, you know, he's starting to become the guy that everyone's talking about to get Rookie of the Year.
Well, that's because he's played most of the games.
Yeah.
And even before Embiid was out, it was between Embiid, Brogdon, like we mentioned, from the Milwaukee Bucks, and also from Dario Saric. Those are the top three candidates for Rookie of the Year. And if this does, in fact, factor in about the lack of games that Joel Embiid has played on the season, ending his season with 31, Dario Saric and Malcolm Brogdon are basically going to be the two guys that the league has to choose from in terms of that award. And if you ask me, Dario, as much as I love Malcolm Brogdon, Dario Saric will probably win that award. And again, 21 points, 10 boards in 27 minutes. Doing all that, as you mentioned, in foul trouble. Getting those 12 key points in the fourth quarter, knocking down 2 key free throws after missing 4 earlier in the game. At that one point, he was 4-for-8, stepping to the line at the end of the game where he had to secure and make it a little more difficult. It was a 1-point lead. He steps to the line towards the end of the game, knocks down 2 free throws. Still a 1-possession game, but now you extend it to make the New York Knicks have to make a 3-pointer to tie it, to send it into overtime. Stepped up to the plate again. This offense, since Joel Embiid has been gone, is running through Dario Saric, and he's coming up big for this team. There's no wonder why he won that Rookie of the Month award for the Eastern Conference in February. Brett Brown said it post-game. He believes that the Rookie of the Year award should go through Philadelphia one way or another.
Yeah, it probably will. But let's turn our attention to tonight's game against the Detroit Pistons. You know, right now here the series is tied 1-1. You know, this will be the final regular season meeting between the two teams. They're only going to play 3 games. But, you know, it's going to be there's a homecoming for, you know, Marcus Morris, the 6'9 small forward for Detroit. He's averaging 23.5 points against his hometown team. Now, Jahlil Okafor, on the other hand, is averaging 15 points against the Pistons. Now, but when you look at the Pistons and you look at their starting five, man, it's a lot of balance. If you think about it, look, Marcus Morris is averaging 14.6 points. John Layer is averaging 11 points. Andre Drummond is averaging 14.7 points, 13.9 rebounds. Then you got Kenavious Caldwell-Pope. He's averaging 14.4. And then Reggie Jackson, the basketball player, is averaging 14.7. That's a lot of balance, man.
It's a good balance there, yeah. And the one that really stands out to me, is even though it's a down year, not an all-star year, again, the headliner for the Detroit Pistons is center Andre Drummond. You're talking about 15 points and 14 boards for him in 30 minutes. Again, that's just good overall production from one of your key guys. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has stepped up this season, 14 points, 3 boards, 3 assists in 34 minutes. But it's not just the stat line that stands out for me. If you have an opportunity to watch Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's becoming a pretty well all-around two-way player for the Detroit Pistons, having to guard the best perimeter player, and then also get a lot of points. He's had it scored a career high this season on 38 points, and it's nice to see him round into form and into this particular player who he is. Not complete, not done. There's still a lot to be tapped into with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but he's a problem. He's a problem that the Sixers will definitely have to take a look at on Saturday night. He definitely needs to be in the scouting report or how to make sure that you don't test him too much, because if you allow him to get going both from the three-point line or even filling the lane and fast break, you're going to be in trouble. But you're right. Just good balance up and down that starting lineup for the Detroit Pistons. A little underwhelming, 29-32 on the year, but they can get it going. And the Sixers don't want to be the one to get in their way and allow them to start clicking at the wrong time.
Yeah, I don't really understand this team because, like we said, a little underwhelming. But if you look at their record, you know, they're 16-19 against Eastern Conference teams, but then they're 13-13 against the West.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, I thought the Western Conference, you know, was a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but one of those losses, I mean, to the Western Conference was their last one, and they were blown out 109-86. You know, I think that this is probably a team who, when they decide to play, they play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if you think about when they played the Sixers, mm-hmm. the first game they were blown out. In the second game, they won by, and I'm not saying, you know, they won 113-96.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you know, who's showing up tomorrow? Like, you know what I mean? That you know, that's what you have to find out about this team.
Well, it looks like to me they're just simply still trying to find their way. Stan Van Gundy, I believe, is a very good coach in this league. Still trying to figure things out. The lineup, if you look at, as you mentioned, Morris, Lohr, Drummond, Pope, and Reggie Jackson, you're still trying to just figure it out with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson playing a lot of high pick and roll between the two. And still trying to find shots for everyone else. John Lohr and Marcus Morris being those stretch forwards to allow Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson to obviously run that high pick and roll and see what goes on there. But I think they're just simply still trying to find their way. Maybe they're not the right fit, all of those players together. Or maybe, I don't know what it is. We don't follow them closely enough to really know what their issue is. When you look at their starting lineup, on paper you say that's a really good team. So I'm interested to see how the Sixers play, first of all, on a back-to-back night against a team still fighting for a playoff spot in the Detroit Pistons with a lot of talent in that starting five. So you're absolutely right. It's just when you look at that and you say 16-19 versus the East, 13-13 versus the West, good record at home, 19-12 as they should, but 10-20 on the road. So when they come here into Philadelphia, it's you can say maybe this is one of those teams, as again, you said they played the 76ers early on in the year twice, and they played them both at home, so this is the first time they have an opportunity to play the Sixers on the road. We'll see how they pan out. They had a night off. They're in town already, so they didn't have a game to play. They're not on a back-to-back like the Sixers. So let's see if the Sixers can stave off a rested team since they haven't played the Detroit Pistons since March 1st and come in and protect their home floor, even though they played on Friday night and got a close win against the Knicks.
I'd also like to see how the crowd's going to react to Ish Smith. You know, I know he came here in the preseason.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did a lot for this team, you know, while he was here. He got waived 2 years. They just didn't bring him back 2 years in a row. And, you know, I honestly think that he'll probably get a nice applause from the crowd who appreciates what he accomplished here. But it's crazy, but you know, he's probably gonna look around and be like, hey, I don't really know a lot of these guys, because it's the team, the Sixers have changed.
Yeah, they have changed, and I do think that Ish Smith will get a nice ovation. People liked his change of pace, style of play, the speed. When he came in at the time that the Sixers most needed last season, when they were down, I believe when he came in December via trade from New Orleans, as a matter of fact, the team, the 76ers, only had one win.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned them around to where they were respectable, I believe, 3-5 in their next 8 games. And it looked like he got Nerlens Noel going. He and Ish Smith had a nice chemistry. So I believe the Sixer fans do like Ish Smith's game. They respect him from afar now with the Detroit Pistons. So I believe when he does check in to the game, that he will get a nice ovation. Yep.
Yeah, they will. But hey, man, I want to thank you for being on here. Just tell people where they can follow you at on Twitter, and I know you about to go to work. You're gonna be busy this weekend.
Yeah.
So talk to them about that too, where they can, you know, follow you on the radio too.
Yeah, at DevonG975 on Twitter, at DVONG975 on Twitter, and the 97.5 is because of 97.5 The Fanatic, which is where I am employed by, my station, my radio station in Philadelphia. So if you have an opportunity to listen to me at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, leading you into Sixers Detroit Pistons on 97.5thefanatic.com. So if you can do that, I'll appreciate it. And Keith, as always, thanks for having me.
Oh, man, anytime. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening in, and I'll be back on Monday. Enjoy your Saturday.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.